Welcome to the We Have a Meeting podcast, where we sit down with the world's smartest thinkers to give you the actionable tools, insights, and strategies that could make your life more impactful and productive. This week, we have a meeting with...
Okay, so today we are joined by Heidi Solomon-Orlik. So Heidi is an award-winning vice president with over 30 years of global BPO sales and leadership experience. Heidi is founder and CEO of Girls Who Sell, an organization whose mission it is to close the gender gap in B2B sales and build the largest pipeline of early stage diverse female sales talent. Also the author of that brand new book, Heels to Deals, which is out on March the 8th. Hello, Heidi. How are you?
Hello, Jack. Hi, Zach. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate that very kind introduction.
No worries. Thank you for joining us. So, Heidi, the first question I kind of wanted to start with is, imagine my dad. My dad gets very easily confused. I tried to explain what LinkedIn is and he still didn't get it. So imagine if you had to explain to my dad what you did for a living. What would you say?
What I do for a living? Oh my gosh. You know, I have been trying to explain that to my parents for probably the last, 45 years. So I don't know that I'm necessarily the best person, but I'll take a shot at it. So I guess it sort of comes, I'll take it from two different perspectives, because I feel like I have kind of a split personality, right? One is, I haven't quite made the full-time pivot into entrepreneurship. So my day job is to work as a vice president of global sales for VXI Global Solutions, which is a business process outsourcing company. And what that means is that we work primarily with Fortune 500 companies and emerging technology companies who outsource their customer service and their tech support and their sales, their back office support. And we help drive their customer relationships and build their customer experience. So I would say that's my elevator pitch on VXI and what I do in the BPO world. But for Girls Who Sell, I'm founder and CEO of the organization. And, I wanted to build a company that not only helped to close the gender gap in business to business sales, which is pretty dramatic, but to position sales as a viable career choice with a focus on working with college and high school age young women and early college graduates who may not have considered a career in professional sales.
And I think that's such an interesting point. So when we were doing the podcast and we had like a list of people that we wanted to approach, and you were one of them, but one of the things from what you said there is it's so easy to say, well we could have a list as long as our arms of the men in B2B sales, but it was a little bit hard when we did have to delve a little bit deeper. So I think it's interesting when you talk about kind of finding people at a young age and talk to them about sales, because nobody, I don't know if Zach was different, but nobody came up to me and say, right, you're going to have a career in sales when I was a child. It doesn't work. So what made you passionate about kind of projecting that mission to young people and telling them that there is a viable opportunity here?
Yeah, before I answer that, Zach, did you have a driving passion to be in sales?
No, sadly not. No, it's I think most of us fall into it, don't we?
Yeah. So, I was one of those, and most of the women that I have interviewed at all different stages of their career, I would say, if I would talk to a couple hundred women, maybe there was a handful that said, I always knew I wanted to do sales. My dad was in sales or whatever, right? Like, so that they were influenced at an early age and had a understanding of sales. But you're right. I kind of joke about, no 5-year-old or you know, 10-year-old or even, you know, 12-year-old, if you ask what you want to be when you grow up, do they say, oh, I want to be, you know, a vice president, you know, in business to business sales? Said no child ever, right? So, so, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of organizations and universities have done a great job positioning STEM as a possible career option. But looking at it, there's a big gap in sales education. And so we're trying to come in, and Girls Who Sell is playing a part of that, in really overcoming some of the negative perception of what sales is, particularly amongst younger women, you know, young female adults, right? They think it's sleazy, it's disgusting. They have this, you know, it's a bro culture. You have to sell people things that they don't need. And, you know, and then once you begin to start working with them to really educate them that sales is a life skill, one, two, we're always selling, and that sales is more about service and solving problems and building solutions and, you know, establishing trust and relationships, things that are innate skill sets for women, they have this aha moment of sales sounds pretty cool. I think I can do that. And then they realize how much money they can make at it and have the financial independence. Then they're like, that's even better. Why haven't I considered this before? So Girls Who Sell Academy, that's the first program that we just put together, which is really a course that is educating young adults on, you know, the benefits of a career in sales.
And Heidi, did you notice, was there a gender inequality issue that you noticed between men and women in sales, or was it just a matter of there's not many women in sales? But what was your thought process in offering something to women specifically?
Yeah, I mean, when I started in sales 31 years ago, I mean, I was the only woman at the table. And even fast forward 30 years, you know, and now women only represent about 35% of total professionals in business to business sales. And when you overlay any, you know, other kinds of statistics like, you know, women in sales leadership and or women in tech sales or any kind of diversity statistic like, you know, women of color, the numbers just progressively get more dismal. So I really wanted to solve for that and leverage my extensive career in professional sales, which I've been blessed to be incredibly successful in the top of my field, and combine that with my desire to mentor young women, right? And so really found that there was a gap at the college age level where women didn't even know sales was an actual choice that they could make. So I think there is a big gender disparity, but once women realize that they do have the innate personality skill sets and we help them build their confidence and overcome some of the limiting beliefs that they may have, or demonstrate to them that their unique personality traits. Like I hear a lot with young women, oh, I can't be in sales. You know, I'm shy, or I'm analytic, or I'm an introvert. So sales is just not for me. And I'm like, hey, that's your superpower, right? So we're going to teach you how to take that skill set and turn it into something that you can leverage to be successful in the profession, because there's so many job opportunities in sales, job options that are available to people. You know, all kinds of personality skill sets can be successful. So,
well, that's quite an inspiring viewpoint, actually. You know, when someone says something to you that sticks in your head, that I think that might be the thing that I take away from this is you just said then about, I suppose almost what you're saying is people are presenting you with their weaknesses. I couldn't do this because I have this set of weaknesses. And you're actually flipping it and saying, no, those are your strengths. That's what makes you unique. And we can use those to offer something unique in the space. I think that's great. That's a great message. I really like that.
Yeah.
Right. So next thing I'm going to get you to imagine is you are at the top of, I'm trying to think of a good American example. We use a lot of UK landmarks in this question. You're at the top of the Grand Canyon and you're looking out over all your experiences, all your accomplishments. Where's your head stopping and saying, that's the one I'm most proud of?
Ooh, that is a really good question. I have to say, I mean, I'm proud of a lot of my accomplishments, but, and this may just seem cliche, but I feel like Girls Who Sell is my legacy and my life's mission. So the important work that we're doing here, it's taken me a while to get here. I mean, I'm not a spring chicken, right? And I've probably been doing it more informally, you know, throughout my career in terms of, you know, trying to mentor and sponsor women, but formalizing it as a part of Girls Who Sell and trying to really have a global impact to help build the next generation of sales talent feels big to me. And I like to say, you know, we're more than a company, we're a movement, and that's really what I'm trying to create here. So I would say Girls Who Sell is probably it.
That's a very
it also answer. Says it's never too late to start something, right? I mean, I was 61 when I kicked off Girls Who Sell. So
wow. You're not over 61.
I'm 62. I'm going to be 62 this year. Yeah.
Wow. Something in the water in America, perhaps. Maybe more so.
Yeah, I don't know. yeah. So I'm pretty excited about the future of the company. And we're still in early stage. You know, we just launched in 2021. But I know you talked about LinkedIn and building your personal brand and your company brand. You know, I think a lot of times people are like, wow, you've only been in business for a year, right? Like, it seems like you've been around forever. It started coming household name, and I'm pretty proud of that. But we have a long way to go.
I started this business as a pandemic led enterprise, if you will. You know, the pandemic inspired me to maybe go on my own. And I think there will be a lot of women out there who are probably feeling the same, that maybe the pressure's on at work, or perhaps they've got that idea that they should be doing and they're working from home for someone else. Why not cut out the middleman? So I really think it's great what you're doing. I couldn't commend you more.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, with the great resignation, you know, and the pandemic has definitely impacted women exponentially harder than men. And, you know, mainly it's because even in 2022 or 21, you know, women are still expected to carry on a lot of the, you know, household responsibilities. It just is a thing. I mean, have we come, you know, have we made progress? Yes. Are we there yet? Not even close. And so, I agree with you, Zach. Women are leaving the workforce. But I think the sort of the positive or, you know, side to the whole thing is that women are transitioning into entrepreneurship, and they're taking the opportunity to leverage, their passion to say, you know what, I'm done with corporate America. I'm just going to go and try to make a difference and change the world and follow my passion. So I know I'm only one of hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of women around the world that are starting. I call it our pandemic babies, right? It's, you know, we've all given birth to new businesses.
Yeah. I think this is quite a fitting time to ask my next question then, because I think you've explained it a lot, but there might be more to kind of uncover with this one, Heidi. But I guess before all is said and done, and we put you on your yacht and we push you out to sea with a margarita in your hand, what do you want to uncover? Like, what have you got left to do? And I know Girls Who Sell is a huge bit. And then maybe the new book is coming out. That could be something that you've got left to achieve as well, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I will, you know, when we say that we want to build the pipeline, you know, of talent, right? Diverse talent. It's, you know, when you look at the makeup of the 35% that I mentioned earlier, it's mostly white women, right? And so, you know, I guess, you know, what I have to do, you know, what I want to do is, you know, we launched our nonprofit this year, the Girls Who Sell Empowerment Fund. That's really working specifically with young women from underrepresented and underserved communities. So even if I took the 35% to 50%, we normalized the percent of women in business-to-business sales. If the makeup continues to be majority white women, I will have failed as a business. Mm. So it is important to me to also build diversity and partner with corporations that have a true commitment to diversity, equity, inclusion, and in bringing women into their sales organization. So that's the one thing. The second thing is you know, is trying to move the needle on the sales culture, because while I do believe that the broke culture is still alive and well. Is it, you know, changing? Is it getting better? Yes. Are there a lot of male allies? Absolutely. Some fabulous male allies that are out there that recognize that women are actually better than their male counterparts in sales. So they're like, hey, bring it on. You know, I want lots of women on my sales team because they're outperforming and they're making me a hero. So, you know, I think though that, you know, I want to address the entire ecosystem, because it's one thing to build the pipeline, but if we are successful in getting this talent into these corporations, if we don't change the inherent bias in the recruiting process, if we don't try to, you know, overcome the predominantly male bro culture in sales. If we don't address some of the culture issues, women will just continue to attrit. If we don't provide women with the training and the career path opportunities that they need to be successful, they'll leave, right? And then we will have failed. So that's another thing when I think about, you know, how do I define success? And I guess it's just all about trying to leave the world a little bit better place than how I found it, right? For future generations, because, you know, the youth are our future and they have the ability. We've seen it, you know, over and over and over again. When youth have stepped up and taken a stand and, you know, they're out there saying, listen, diversity matters. Equity matters. I'm not going to accept that. They're voting with their wallets. And so I think it's time that corporations begin to address that, particularly as it relates to women. And I guess I won't be happy until, you know, I've tried to at least make a little bit of an impact and a difference and move the needle.
It's amazing. A message that's something that's bigger than you, which obviously you don't get a lot in the world of sales. It's quite a selfish game. One of the things that you said, though, that's quite interesting is you said that it's about making people realize that often women are better than their male counterparts. I would echo that as well. In my career, the most consistent performers have been women in the team who've been sales focused. And I was interested in why that might be. And if you look into how we progress cognitively, how our brains progress, men, their rational brain isn't fully developed till they're about 25. Women, it's much, much earlier. So what you end up with, if you've got, especially if you've got a younger sales team, which a lot of businesses do, if you had a load of young 20-year-olds, you would find that the women would be a lot more rational in their approach to the highs and lows of sales, whereas the men in the team might not. So if you were looking at who's going to be more consistent and emotionally sustainable, you would find that it would be the women. And obviously sales is massively about mindset. So if I was putting some meat on the bone of what you just said, I would think that would be where I would put my 2 pence.
I like that.
Yeah, that's an interesting perspective. I hadn't really ever considered the maturity factor. Of course, the EQ factor is important as well. And, you know, I think men do also tend to be, have a little bit different approach to selling. So that makes a different, whereas women are much, are come at it from a little bit different angle, in terms of building trust and really, you know, really focused on the relationship and serving and solving, problems. I mean, not to put people in boxes, because, you know, gender boxes, because I tend to hate that, right? But because there are some men that are super great at emotional intelligence and mature, and then there are some women who aren't and all of that. So, you know, there's all the outliers. But if you look at it just in general, you know, one, I agree, women tend to be mature earlier, 100% for sure. And then they just have a little bit different approach. Women are also better listeners overall, you know, if we're going to get general, you know, men and women listen differently. So, you know, women, we all listen, we do listen, but women tend to listen to understand, whereas a man is listening to respond. So I think in sales, particularly early on, that makes a big, it does make a big difference. And just because of the emotional intelligence factor, you know, women tend to establish a higher level of trust. I think the perception is that men are just more commission, you know, driven. And again, I hate to generalize, but that, you know, tends to be, you know, they're just driving, you know, they're driving results, where women tend to have a much longer view, and are more comfortable with longer sales cycles and more complex type of deals. So, yeah, I think the maturity factor, particularly in these early stage jobs, right, for SDRs and AEs, and I think you're right, Zach. I think it does play a factor. And the other thing I agree with is mindset is 100% key, right? I mean, you can train some sales skills, I guess. You can, right? Just like you train a professional athlete that comes maybe with some, you know, inherent or basic skills, right, that are a part of their DNA, but you have to train them, right? They're not necessarily natural. And so the same thing, I think, is in sales. It's sort of a muscle that you begin to build, right, over time, and you can train that. You can train that. But there are some things that just, when you look at the top 1%, that are not, that you can't train, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. There's certain things.
And that ties into mindset, right? It just is like, you know, you just look at mindset, and there's, if you look at the, at, you know, the top 1%, they just definitely have a certain mindset.
Yeah. There's all sorts in there about, you know, resilience. We all have different levels of resilience that are inbuilt, probably decided by early life experiences anyway. That's, you know, everyone comes from different backgrounds, and funnily enough, you end up doing the same job as someone with a hugely varied background, and that informs how they do their day-to-day activity. So I completely agree with what you're saying. Right, so that moves us on to our last question. So imagine that the professor from Back to the Future has knocked on the door. He can take you back to the start of your career. What advice would you give yourself for day one of your professional career?
When I started out in sales, and I because it was so male dominated, I felt as though in order to be successful, I had to emulate the men. And it felt inauthentic. And I was a learning process to go through that I had to go through that made me recognize that it was really my, you know, gifts or skills or as a woman, that was what was going to make me successful. So I spent a lot of time really educating myself on my business, because that is how I wanted to differentiate. Was, you know, because back then a lot of deals were getting done on the golf course or in cigar bars or in strip clubs or whatever. And that wasn't a place that I wanted to hang out, right? Like I sucked at golf, unfortunately. So had to learn, you know, that in order for me to be successful, you know, I needed to find other ways to engage with my customers. And so when I realized that my gift and what my competitive differentiator was actually being a woman, particularly back then, it just exploded, right? And when I got in touch with my authentic self, you know, sales just began to take off and exponentially increase. So I would have probably done it sooner. I wish I had realized that. And I guess probably no surprise that that's what I'm actually teaching young women now, is to honor your authentic self, because that's your superpower.
I love that. And I love how it all comes 360 from the start of the conversation and what you've learned. And I think that's so, so good. And I think we might have mentioned it on an earlier podcast, but it's the campsite mentality, that you can stay at the campsite as long as you want, but then when you leave, just make sure you tidy, you take your rubbish, and you just leave the ground in the condition. So you just leave in the world a better place, and sales is going to change over the years. And who knows where it'll be in another 50 years. I'm sure the cold calling would have died out and come back into fashion in 50 more years. And we'll see if people are sending emails, or they might have carrier pigeons that are sending proposals and things like that. We'll find different ways of selling. But if you can just add that little bit and influence people as you go along, I'm sure that you will be making the world a better place in the world of sales, Heidi. So thank you so much for joining us today.
I just wanted, before we end, it, just because it is a good tie-in, that was really the whole purpose behind the book, right?
Yes.
Because what better way? So Heels to Deals, it's called Heels to Deals, How Women Are Dominating in Business-to-Business Sales. And we amplify the voices of 33 female sales professionals from who are global, from highly diverse background, because I thought, what better way to actually inspire the next generation of young women to consider a career in sales than to hear the stories and, get the advice of women who are in professional sales today who are at the top of their game. So not sure when this is going to air, but look for Heels to Deals. And it's just these amazing stories of women who have overcome insurmountable odds from all different all different places and all different backgrounds, but somehow we all found business to business sales and are successful at it. So just shows that, that all different personalities and all different business or all different, backgrounds can be successful in sales.
And that's how
if people want to find the book, speak to you, what are the best ways of doing those things?
Yeah, so I'm really accessible on LinkedIn. It's Heidi Solomon-Orlick. You can always reach out to me and connect. I love connecting with new people. And I'm happy to help in any way possible. So feel free to do that. You can learn about Girls Who Sell at www.girlswhosell.com. That's girls with a Z, G-I-R-L-Z. And that'll give you a little bit more information about the Academy. If you're a college student or early stage professional listening to this, go there and apply for our Academy and learn more. So those are probably the best ways. You can also they can also reach me at Heidi@girlswhosell.com.
Our books are now open. Friends, Romans, countrymen, if you're looking for more sales, and that might be getting more meetings in the diary, meeting more of the right types of people, or breaking into a new area or sector, we've got you covered in two key ways. Number one, we can do it for you. We can kick the doors down, get you the meetings, and do the prospecting that you hate. Or number two, we can teach you how we do it so you can do it for yourselves, creating repeatable, predictable results. So if you're interested in either of those things, www.wehaveameeting.com and hit the contact us form. Speak to you soon.